This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. This summer, Frank Taylor got a tip. As the managing editor of Carolina Public Press, he'd been investigating adult care homes in North Carolina and the lack of consistency and accountability enforced by counties and states. Then, two sources led Frank to a closer look at Cedar Brook Residential Center in McDowell County. Documents showed shocking violations, including negligence and sexual abuse. The state issued a lengthy report that detailed the violations, but later the case seemed to have been removed from public record. The state regulators actually gave the facility a perfect 4-star rating in its ranking system. Carolina Public Press published Frank's expose just a few hours ago. A second piece will be released early next week, and Frank Taylor joins us now from the studios of Blue Ridge Public Radio to tell us more about it. Hello, Frank.
Hello.
A few weeks ago, we talked about this on the air, your investigation into alleged abuses at adult care facilities and oversight by state and county. What was it about Cedar Brook that got your attention?
Well, as we were looking at facilities, we looked at the most penalized facilities in the state, and several of the sources we talked to said, are you looking at Cedar Brook? I said, Cedar Brook doesn't show up on the list. And as we began to look at why, it turned out that Cedar Brook should have been on the list, but they had gone to court and reached a settlement with the state to withdraw all of the statements of deficiencies. There were three bulky statements of deficiencies issued against them between late 2015 and mid-2016. All of the negative impacts, they had been restricted not to allow new admissions and so on, and they had been given a 0-star rating. Those were all gone, just disappeared from the normal database where you can look up records on any adult care home in the state. And in its place, there was a shiny 4-star rating that, as we eventually found out, wasn't based on any reality.
All right, well, let's talk about what the state found in its investigations when it first heard of the allegations. What was in that lengthy, over 250-page report about Cedar Brook?
And the length of these investigations have to do with how thorough they are. They go through and interview staff. They interview residents in the facilities. These are not just retirement homes. A lot of these residents are adults of any age who have disabilities. Many of them have mental disabilities, mental impairment. So they interview these individuals about what was going on, and as well as staff. There were claims of prostitution at this facility. There were claims that people there were engaging in sexual practices, and even though these are people who are supposed to be supervised because of these impairments, and there was nothing being done to make sure that the sex was consensual. There were allegations that people were being admitted with violent histories, and nothing was being done to remove them despite those violent histories when they acted out. There were also concerns about just general neglect of the people, some of the conditions as far as sanitary conditions at the facility. There was a work program at the facility that allowed people to work for credits that they could only use at the facility, even though they're paying or taxpayers are paying for them to be there. This appears to be like a prison commissary, and they were cited for that as a pretty serious violation. All of these things added up to some of the largest total violations that we've seen. We looked at a 3-year period of violations because that's the window of time that was subject to public record when we were looking. And nobody else had what this one facility had based on these very recent findings.
They racked up a lot of fines, too, over $350,000 worth of fines. Am I right?
$359,400 worth of fines just from this window of time that we're talking about. When we looked at other facilities over an entire 3-year period, that was 3 times the fines of any other facility. The next highest one was one, I believe, in Franklin County that had a little over 100,000, and it was off the chart and compared to most of them. So this is unheard of for one to have, you know, penalties in that range.
And as you say, it went down as a result of all that, the fines, the findings, the restrictions, a 0-star rating. This rating is something that can be used by consumers to figure out where they want to send their loved one if they need this kind of supervision. And you can go up online and check out these ratings.
Yeah.
State gives them 0. So what happens next? Because that sounds like some pretty serious violations, pretty serious findings after a lengthy investigation. Tell us what happens next.
So normally there's a procedure that a facility can go through if they're evaluated and they question some of the findings, they want to challenge some of the penalties. There's an informal dispute resolution they can go through, and many facilities do that. That isn't what Cedarbrook did in this case. The owner's lawyers filed a petition in the Office of Administrative Hearings, and that's a quasi-judicial state agency. And as a result, this was headed to a trial with the state saying, hey, we did everything right. We stand by our findings. This was headed toward trial in September of last year, although the parties were in mediation, discussed some type of a settlement. In early or in late August last year, the state offered an arrangement, said, okay, we'll lower the penalties a little bit. We'll go from 0 stars to 1 star. And the facility came back and said, that's not good enough, and if we beat you in court, we're going to sue you for court costs, and we're going to go to federal court and sue you for wrongful conviction. Now, I don't know why the state settled ultimately, but the state came back and said, okay, we're going to withdraw everything, and you will get a 4-star rating, and here's how we'll make up the 4-star rating. And they literally used the wording create the 4-star rating.
So they could have gone to trial, and at the last minute, then the state says, no, we're not going to take this to trial. And as you say, wipes out the fines and creates, in their words, a 4-star rating. What happened, Frank? I mean, this might suggest that the facility was right, that you never had a case against us and you knew that. And if you thought you were going to go to court, you withdrew. I mean, maybe that was the case, huh?
Well, and that's exactly what the owner of the facility said. And we talked to him at length. However, there is some corroborating testimony that we've seen that says, no, there were pretty serious problems there. This place has a lengthy history in local media. The McDowell News is the local newspaper there, has documented many times that the sheriff's office has had to come there for things that include some of the issues that we described and that were described in the report, some of the same issues over years. And we also talk with folks with Disability Rights North Carolina who go into these homes and look at conditions. And they said, not only do we see the same things that were described, but we're also seeing not really any substantial improvements, even though they decided to settle. So, you know, there definitely was some evidence that the state was not entirely wrong. Was there some reason the state thought its case wasn't good enough to be sure they would win at trial? I don't know that.
We are talking about the state's oversight of adult care facilities with the managing editor of the Carolina Public Press today on the State of Things. Frank Taylor is my guest. So what does the state say about all this? Because there's no record of this. As you say, when you went to look at other facilities, this one never even showed up. So there's actually no record of any of this taking place. What happened?
Well, so we did request the records that had been withdrawn because, as far as we can tell, that settlement was a legal sleight of hand that didn't constitute anything that would make them cease to be public records. We got heavily redacted records back from the state. In the meantime, through another source, we actually got the original records, and so we were able to write our story based on the original records. We've seen them. That's how we know about them at all. But when we went to the state to try to get comment on this, I mean, they were very tight-lipped, generally citing legal issues. We did get a statement from one of the assistant secretaries in the Department of Health and Human Services, which oversees adult care home regulation. And he said that he recognized that not everybody would agree that on the merits of the settlement. Kind of vague answers on a lot of the questions that we have.
This brings us to really the centerpiece of your investigation, which is oversight of these facilities and the whole question of transparency and whether or not we can trust that there's somebody watching over these and that we're going to get the information we need on these facilities and how well they're doing. Let's talk about the owner of the facility at Cedarbrook. Mm-hmm. What does he say about this?
Well, he says that, you know, he knows they didn't admit any wrong when they did the settlement. That was a key measure of the settlement for the state. But he says, if they weren't in the wrong, why did they settle? These were horrible things that we were accused of. And he's owned facilities like this around the state for at least 15 years. So he was shocked by it himself, he claimed. Must not have been true, or else they wouldn't have settled.
All right, so here we are in this breach, again, no public record until you went and asked for it and now have done your reporting. So tell us now, who does have responsibility? Because I understand there's shared responsibility between the state and the county in terms
That's
of supervision.
Right. So one of the aspects of this settlement was to change the balance of this arrangement specifically in respect to Cedarbrook Residential Center. State law says that the state and Departments of Social Services coordinate the efforts and explains how they both can be involved in doing inspections. In this settlement, it says that the state will allow McDowell County Department of Social Services to take the lead on handling of future investigations there, unless there's some type of incident that comes up where they have doubts about the professionalism or the credibility of that agency. And by the way, they won't talk to us. We reached out to McDowell County DSS, and they wouldn't respond to her.
All right. Well, you can read about Frank's story on Cedarbrook Residential Center on the Carolina Public Press's website right now. And Frank, I know you're working on a follow-up for early next week, right?
Yes, and that follow-up is going to focus heavily on the transparency issues this raises, because there are some pretty serious concerns about a public agency, a regulatory agency, just being able to make something go away when it's inconvenient legally or politically.
All right. Frank Taylor, managing editor of Carolina Public Press. As I said, his story on Cedarbrook is on the Carolina Public Press website. Of course, we've got links at our website, stateofthings.org. Frank, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Just ahead, we're going to meet Joan Myers Brown, the founder of Philadanco, who built the stage for African-American dancers. You'll hear that on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay tuned.